So this morning, we're going to be continuing our Parables of Lent series. But before we get into the parable of the morning, we're actually going to take a few moments to do Mad Libs in church. Now, I don't remember how many of you remember as kids doing Mad Libs. There were these word games where it would list, hey, let's put a noun, a verb, an adjective, and you'd make a list of words, and then you would read a story and fill in your blanks. So we're going to be doing that this morning. So before we get into the sermon, I need you all to pull your bulletins out, and on the back sermon notes section, there's a list of things you need to fill in. So there's a pencils on the ends of the pews, and I didn't dismiss the kids, did I? Kids, you are dismissed. See, I didn't put it in my notes. Kids, you're dismissed. We have an overflow and children's worship today. I apologize. Those blue books can be passed. We're in Luke chapter 10 today. See, my brain's all scattered because of the snow. You guys were so excited you got to stay for the sermon. Now I'm kicking you out. They want to do the Mad Libs, see? All right, Mad Libs. I know some of you are working diligently. I'll just read through them real quick. The first thing you need to write down is, what is your favorite vacation destination? If I would hand you a plane ticket or gas money right now, where would you want to go? Second thing is the amount of money you have in your pocket right now, to which my wife has already pointed out to me that she has no pockets this morning. So whatever you have in your purse, in your car, whatever amount of money, you don't have to be picky like some people pointing it out, dear. Third thing, list a part of your body. Toe, head, arm, leg, belly button. I don't care. Next thing, get a little more specific here. I need you to write down the godliest person, the most devoted person that you know. This can be a pastor or a spiritual mentor. Next one, I need you to write down, who is the most helpful, loving person? If you needed someone to help you with something, who would be the first person you would go to? Because they always say yes when you need help. The next one's a little tricky. I need you to write down the name of a person, or maybe just the initials of a person that you hate. And maybe hate's a strong word. I know we don't like to say we hate people. People you avoid. Write down the name of someone that when you just see them, you kind of turn away, you maybe not want to talk to them. You'll see how this fits in a minute. And finally, write down the amount of money you wish you had in your pocket, or your purse, or your car. All right. So this morning, and we'll come back to the Mad Libs in a minute, this morning we're going to be looking at perhaps the most famous of the parables. Maybe it's the second most famous, depending what your preference is. But it's a parable that many of us know very well. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, many of us have heard this story growing up. We talk a lot about it in church because it's a favorite of many people. It's a very simple story, and it's a story that teaches a really important lesson about helping other people. Now, I want to remind us this morning as we get into the parable, as I mentioned the first week in the series, that parables are stories that did not happen. There was no real Good Samaritan. And I think this is important for us to tuck in the back of our minds, because if you're like me, I'm so attached to this story. I've heard it so many times. I assume there has to be a Good Samaritan. When I get to heaven, I want to meet this guy that we've given the name the Good Samaritan. But this is a parable. It didn't actually happen. It's a story that Jesus makes up to teach us something. And this is one of the parables that we actually know exactly why Jesus told it and exactly what he was trying to teach us, because we have the backdrop to how the parable began. So we're going to start by looking at Luke chapter 10 this morning to see what led to Jesus teaching this parable. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' Jesus replied. 'How do you read it?' The expert answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this, and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" So you have this expert in the law sitting with Jesus, trying to test him. And he asks a very simple question. "Jesus, what do I have to do? If I want to be with God, if I want to go to heaven, tell me, Jesus, what do I have to do?" And I love that Jesus turns the question back on him. "You're an expert. You know all the Old Testament law. You tell me, what do you have to do?" And so the guy, being an expert, knows the answer. He says, "Look, the scripture says we need to love God with everything. Love God with our heart, soul, mind, strength. Love God with everything. And then it also says that we should love our neighbors, that we should love others." And again, the guy asked a question he already knew an answer to. And so Jesus makes him answer. He was an expert in the law. He knew all of this. But notice what we find out in the scriptures here is that he wanted to justify himself. We talked about this word justification the other week, about trying to realign ourselves, trying to make ourselves right. And we talked about how Jesus justifies us at the cross. But this guy, he wants to justify himself. In other words, he wants to validate how he currently is living. He's hoping that Jesus' answer will affirm his current practices, that he doesn't need to change anything. And so he says to Jesus, okay, I have to love God with everything. I got that. And I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Now, just to clarify, who is my neighbor? In other words, give me the list of people that I have to be nice to. And that way I know who I don't have to be nice to. Tell me the long and short, what do I have to do? Who do I actually have to love? And so Jesus launches into what we all know as the story of the Good Samaritan. At verse 30, Luke chapter 10, Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, again, many of us, if we've grown up in the church, if we've been in the church for years, have heard this story hundreds, if not thousands of times. It is probably one of the most popular parables of Jesus. It's one that we're taught even as young children. In fact, this story is often used outside of the Christian faith to teach this idea of how to care for others. I find it fascinating that this parable is so important to us that non-Christians use it to teach the same lesson. What does it mean to care for others? But I think sometimes when we've heard a story so many times, we can sometimes miss out on the subtle points that are buried in the story. We can miss out on what the characters are actually doing. So I want to pause for a moment and look at the three characters that come along. Because the first guy is a priest. This is supposed to be the godliest person of the day. This is the priest who goes before in the temple and he ministers before God. He takes the sacrifices to God. So you have this very godly guy walking along the road and he sees a man in need and he ignores him. And we might understand that. That seems pretty logical. And the next guy is a Levite. And Levites were helpers. They were the ones who ministered in the temple and helped the priest. They collected all the offerings. They took care of the building. These guys went above and beyond to help out in any way they could. And so here you have a helper walking down the road. He sees a guy in need and he ignores him. Now, these two guys, the priest and the Levite, should have been the logical neighbors to the man on the road. They both were all fellow Jews. They all had the same faith. They all had the same lifestyle. They pretty much were the same man, other than their occupations. And so you have two guys that technically would be considered neighbors by a loose definition, and yet they walk away. And then you get to the third guy, the Samaritan. And we've talked about this before, but as a reminder, the Samaritans were hated enemies of the Jews. They were considered half-breeds. When the kingdom of Israel had split into two nations and the 10 kingdoms went into captivity, they intermarried. And so you had Jews marrying non-Jews and then their kids intermarrying. And all of a sudden you had this group of people who were Jewish by descent but not completely Jewish. And so they became the Samaritans. And the Jews hated the Samaritans. They believed that there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. All Samaritans were terrible, horrible people. In fact, when they heard this story, the assumption would have been that the Samaritan would have walked by. Yet he's the one who stopped. And there was a shock value to what Jesus was saying. And I think sometimes we miss that shock value because we don't know the Samaritans. This is a biblical race of people who we don't have today. And so the story would have grabbed everyone's attention because the people who were neighbors, fellow Jews, walked by. Yet a Samaritan stopped and helped. And so Jesus is teaching us an important lesson here that everyone is our neighbor. Not just those who are like us or live next to us, but that we are called to love everyone. And so just to maybe help us reshape this parable or kind of see the shock value that Jesus was using, I want to rephrase the parable in a modern way. And so I want you to grab your Mad Libs. You're going to fill in the story this morning. You are the man or the woman walking along the road. So the way the story goes for us this morning is you finally are going to have your first vacation in 3 years. The first real vacation, exotic vacation. You are going to go to your favorite vacation spot. You are so excited because you are going to fill in the blank. Where are you going? After you arrive at your vacation destination, you decide to enjoy the beautiful weather and you go for a long walk. While you're out walking, a group of thieves surprised you and they stole all the money out of your pocket, a whole whopping fill in the blank. They stole your cell phone, stole your wallet, and they broke your whatever body part you wrote down. I hear some chuckles. You were left lying in the ditch, unable to move or call for help. After laying there for some time, you heard someone coming down the road. It was the godliest, most devout person that you know. As you called out their name, they looked at you with shock. Clearly, they were going to help you. They were so surprised to see you lying there in this condition. Clearly, they were going to help you. But as they approached, they said, "I am so sorry for you, but I'm too busy praying. I'm too busy having this time alone with God to stop and help you." And they kept on walking. As you lay there, wondering what had just happened, you hear more footsteps approaching. It was the most helpful person that you know. Now, you were surprised to discover that they were also on vacation at the same spot you were, but you were so relieved that they were there to help you. However, as they approached, they looked at you and said, "Wow, it looks like you could really use some help, but I have to keep going into town because there's an old lady and I need to help her cross the street. I can't stop to help you." Another hour went by as you realized that you were probably going to never leave this ditch when you suddenly heard another set of feet walking. It was fill in the blank of the person that you avoid. As you lay there, clearly hurt, you began to debate whether you should try and hide in the ditch or ask them for help. However, before you could even say a word, they saw you, they see you, they rush over, they pick you up, they carry you to their car, and they whisk you off to the hospital. When you arrive there, you don't have your insurance card because they stole your wallet, and the hospital wouldn't admit you. However, this person that you tend to avoid, they pulled out their wallet, and they laid down the amount of money you wish you had in your wallet. They laid that amount on the counter and they said, "I will pay for all their medical costs. Don't worry about insurance. I will cover it. And if this doesn't cover it, here's my credit card just in case they need more money." Does that change the way we hear the parable a little bit? We begin to understand some of these characters that Jesus is sharing in the original story. That the two people that you would expect to stop and help you walk by. Yet the person that you tend to avoid, the person that you don't care for, the person that you might, dare I say, have some hatred in your heart against, they stop and they helped you. Those who should have helped didn't. Those who were not neighbors, by our own definition, did. Now, again, I know, and I saw some of your faces this morning when I said, write down the name of the person that you hate. Because hatred is a thing that we're told we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to hate people. Yet, if we're being honest, I think we all have our own Samaritans today. If we're being honest, there are individuals or groups of people that you and I struggle with, that you and I might avoid, that we're uncomfortable with. And that might be a coworker. You might have someone that works at your office that just drives you insane. And so when you see them coming, you just kind of turn the other direction. Or it might be a group of people. And in our world today, there are groups of people that sometimes we can be fearful of or we can struggle with. And we might say, are these people really my neighbor? In recent years, one of these groups would probably be people who are Muslim, because there's some tension in our world today. And so we look at people who say, you know, if I see someone who's Muslim, are they really my neighbor? Am I called to love them? Maybe it's someone who's gay. Maybe it's someone who's a different ethnic group, who's a different lifestyle than us. And these are people, again, not that we would ever outwardly say, I hate them, but there's tension in our hearts. And we say, I'm not sure how comfortable I am with these people. I avoid them a little bit. But these would be the people that Jesus would call our Samaritans. The real question being asked in the original parable by this expert, he says, do I have to love everyone? That's the question. Do I have to love everyone? And simply put, the answer is yes. When we realize that Jesus came and he died for everyone, the expectation is that we are called to love everyone. Another way of putting it is, we are called to love everyone that Jesus came to die for. And since Jesus came to die for everyone, we are called to love everyone. Now, let's flip it a little bit more, because it's one thing to think about a modern Samaritan, whoever that is for you. It's one thing to think about them helping us. But flip the story around. What if they were the one lying in the ditch? What if they were the one struggling in life? What if they were the one dealing with a tough situation? And you are driving through life. Do you stop and help them? Do you stop and show them love? Do you stop and show them compassion? See, it's one thing for us to think about the Samaritans stopping to help us. But do you and I stop in life to help those that we may tend to avoid? The real hero in this story today is the one who sees the need of another and, having the resources to meet it, does so without prejudice and regardless of the circumstances. And this is what Jesus is challenging us to do, to see everyone as our neighbor, to love everyone. And Jesus ends his story, he ends his conversation with his expert with simple instructions. Go and do likewise. Go and show mercy just like the Samaritan did. And so I want to pause this morning and ask, what is mercy? Again, each week as we look at a different parable, we want to look at what do we receive from Jesus at the cross. So as we approach Easter, we can properly respond in gratitude to what Jesus has done. And so we understand that we receive mercy from Jesus. Here's a word that we use in church a lot, but let's stop for a moment and define it. And a very simple definition of mercy is receiving what you don't deserve, getting something that you didn't earn. So let's some common day examples. The Little League team that goes and they lose every game in the tournament. And at the end, we give them a trophy. Did they earn that trophy? No. We're showing them mercy. Giving them a participation trophy, saying, you didn't earn this, you didn't win, but we're still going to give you a trophy. That's a very simple way of looking at it. Another example maybe is the teenager who goes out to the local park and he vandalizes it. Graffiti, breaks the swings, breaks the slide, the kids can't play anymore. He goes to court after he's arrested. He deserves a hard sentence. He's ruined the community park. And the judge looks at him and says, hey, you know what, I'm going to give you some community service. I'm going to give you a lighter sentence because I'm hoping that you're going to get some help and reshape you here. I'm going to give you a lighter sentence. I'm going to show you mercy. You deserve the book, but I'm going to show you mercy. As Christians, we understand that our sin separates us from God, that our sin drives us away from God, and because of our sin, we deserve death. We deserve eternal separation from God. Yet we know Scripture teaches us that Jesus came to pay the price for our sins, to pay the penalty, to pay the cost, that Jesus, when he died on the cross, was dying in your place and in my place to pay the price for us. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, we receive eternity with God. We receive mercy. We deserve death, yet God gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us eternal life. This is mercy. At the cross, we receive mercy from God. We receive a gift that we don't deserve, a gift that we didn't earn, and a gift that we cannot repay. And so in light of the gift that we get from God, in light of what Jesus does at the cross by showing us mercy, we are called to live and show mercy to others. So in Luke chapter 10, in the parable today, this expert, he wanted to know what he had to do to get eternal life. Now, we've already talked about, we can't do anything to earn salvation, to earn forgiveness. But he asked Jesus, what do I have to do? And technically speaking, strictly looking at the Old Testament law, you can earn salvation by following all of the laws. So he looks at Jesus and says, what do I have to do? And Jesus says, well, if you love God with everything you have and you love others, you have fulfilled the law. But the reality is, when you look at the Old Testament law, it's impossible to follow every law. There's no way we can succeed. And God provided the law to show us that we can't do it without him. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sins. And so we can try as hard as we want to live perfectly and to earn forgiveness, to earn God's favor. But Scripture tells us we can't. We're going to fail. We will never deserve salvation. We will never earn forgiveness. Instead, we receive mercy. We receive what we did not earn. Because we can't do it on our own, we are doomed to failure and separation from God. We deserve that. We deserve separation. Yet God gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us mercy. He provides a way for forgiveness and justification through his son, Jesus. And so as we look at the story of the Good Samaritan, we see that God shows mercy. The Good Samaritan shows mercy as an illustration. And we are told to go and do likewise, to go and show mercy to others, to go and show mercy to our neighbors, to everyone. So as we close out the parable of the Good Samaritan, some final reflection for this week is, as we look at the story, who do you relate most to? Because in the retelling, I made you the person that had fallen on the side of the road, the person who was looking for mercy. But maybe that's not who you relate to. Maybe you do. Maybe you're feeling beaten down by life. We read this parable and you go, wow, I can connect to this guy who's really facing a hard time. I am struggling right now. Maybe you're unsure of this whole thing of faith. Maybe you're unsure of who Jesus is. Maybe you're just saying, you know, my life is so challenging right now. I connect to this guy who is suffering. Yet, as we understand this, when Jesus meets us where we're at, Jesus offers us mercy at the cross. He offers us healing at the cross. And we, as a body of believers, we offer each other mercy and grace. And so if you're feeling beaten down by life this morning, know that we, as a church family, want to support you. It's why we have time to come and pray at the altar. It's why I encourage everyone to share their life in a small group so that we can encourage and carry each other through these times of life where we feel beaten down. But maybe as we read the parable, you say, well, I don't really feel that way right now. Maybe you're actually feeling more apathetic. Maybe you say, you know, if I'm being completely honest, I kind of relate to the people who are walking by the side of the road. Now, none of us ever are going to admit that out loud. But if we think about it, maybe we sometimes find ourselves kind of trying to ignore the needs around us. You know, here in Lancaster County, we all pass the horse and buggies, and you see the horse with the blinders on so they can only see what's directly in front of them. And maybe you sometimes feel like that's what you do. You put your blinders on so you don't see the needs around you, so that you can focus only on what you need to do. You don't want to be inconvenienced by those in need. Yet Jesus tells us to go and do likewise, like the Good Samaritan, to see the needs around us and to meet them. Now, again, we may not be able to help out financially with every need we see, but we can do other things. We can pray for the person involved. We can just talk to them and listen to them. And it's interesting, in Acts chapter 3, we see this kind of thing. Peter's walking up to the temple, and there's a guy there who can't walk, and he's begging for money. And Peter stops and says, look, I don't have silver or gold. I have no money to give you. But hey, let me see your need. Let me understand your suffering. Let me pray for you. And the guy ends up getting healed. All because Peter was willing to look outside the box and say, you know, I can't necessarily help you with your current need or what you're asking for, but let me meet you where you're at. Whether it's the homeless man on the street corner, or maybe the single mom in the grocery store with tons of kids weighing her down and driving her crazy, maybe it's the strange-looking teenager who dresses differently or has a couple extra piercings, maybe it's the couple living down the street with the alternative lifestyle. All of these people are our neighbors. All of these people are people that we are called to show love and mercy to. What will God have you do in their lives? Does God want you to show mercy? How does God want you to show love to these people? It's very easy for us to be apathetic. It's very easy for us to be these people who just kind of walk on the side of the road and don't look left or right. But we're called to go and do likewise, to show mercy to everyone we meet. And maybe this morning, as we read the story of the Good Samaritan, you relate most to the Good Samaritan. Maybe you say, you know what? I really try hard to walk through life helping others, showing mercy, showing love, even when in response, I'm hated. Even when I do good things, I receive criticism. Because I think the Samaritan probably would have received that if there was a dialogue happening, because they didn't trust them. And it's hard for you and I when we go through life and we're trying our best to help others, to love others, to assist others in need, to pray for people. It's hard for us to receive criticism or rejection in return. And so I would just encourage you this morning, if you feel that way, if you feel like you're the Samaritan who every time you're out there helping, you feel like you're being beaten down instead of being thanked, to remind you that our reward is in heaven, that we're doing this because of Christ. And so we need to continue to keep pushing and to continue showing mercy, even when in response we receive criticism or rejection. The parable of the Good Samaritan is about more than just showing kindness to others. When we understand it in the way that Jesus' original audience would have heard it, it helps to draw our attention to how God sees people. God doesn't see people like we do. God doesn't see people divided by skin color. God doesn't see people divided by life choices or divided by family situations. He just sees people. And Jesus clearly calls us to show mercy to those who hate us, who dislike us. He calls us to love everyone just as he has loved them. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is your life filled with love? Are you showing mercy to all of those that you encounter? Or are you walking along the edge of the road of life, trying to keep your eyes straight ahead and avoiding those in need, avoiding those who are different than you, avoiding those who need to hear and meet Jesus? The Samaritan showed mercy, and we are told to simply go and do likewise. Let us go forth this week with our eyes open to the left and the right in front of us to see the people God has put in our path, and to minister to them in whatever way God calls us to go and show mercy. God, this morning, this is such a fun story because it's one that we know from growing up when we were very little. It's a story that we tell all the time, and yet it's a story that teaches us something very important about how we're called to live. And God, I think if we're being honest, many of us at times find us in the shoes of the priest and the Levite. Many of us may find ourselves kind of walking through life and not necessarily opening our eyes to the needs of the people around us. God, I pray this morning that you would help us to see people the way you see them. Not to see their outside appearance, not to see their life choices, but to see their heart and their need for you, God. that we would show mercy because we receive mercy. God, we thank you that Jesus came and died on the cross to fulfill our debt, to pay for our sins, to give us mercy so that we can be with you. Lord, help us to go and do likewise this week and every week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.